Welcome into another edition of the Varsity Podcast. Justin Barney, Sponge Franklin, and man, we are going to fly through last week's edition of Varsity in Week 9 because we have got a blockbuster Week 10 to look forward to, Sponge. Man, Week 9 was a little bit of a letdown in terms of the matches.
We talked about that slate was a little light, and there was a few good matchups, a few potential games that could have been good, but you know, more juicy schedule this week for sure, getting into some of those district matchups and stuff. So last week, a little bit left to be desired on the big-time games or the big, you know, moments. Obviously, there was a few, and, you know, we'll touch on those now. But, I mean, it's just one of those weeks in the schedule where it kind of just, you know, there's no big key, big-time matchups. And like I say, now you're getting to the final stretch run here, the nitty-gritty. You got to, you know, win some games.
Yeah, it last week, the kind of combination of a lot of teams taking that week nine off due to week 10 being so big in terms of district, kind of district clinchers and stuff. But we did have a few we want to talk about from week 9. Remember, a lot of teams were off last week, so, you know, not necessarily not great games. There weren't. But there were just a lot of teams missing from the schedule last week due to how many teams were off. About a dozen teams were off last week. So I think the biggest one, Sponge, Buholtz 44, Bartram Trail 7.
We talked about that one. That was the lone Thursday night matchup. And, you know, we talked about Bartram's, you know, killer schedule. All their losses were against teams who haven't been beaten yet. And Buholtz is another one of those teams that, you know, on paper and even on the field just has been annihilating people. And they did it again. I mean, they put Bartram, like, in their place. And it was a dominating up-and-down defense performance for, you know, Buholtz to basically hold them to 7 and then – they kind of ran all over him. Miles Graham was a monster in that game on both sides of the ball. And like I said, just kind of it was I guess embarrassing and just like, you know, like, damn, we got stomped here.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's tough.
Unreal. That was Bartram's worst loss. They had not had a loss bigger than that since 2009, I believe.
Yeah.
14 years.
Yes.
So everything went wrong for Bartram in that game. You dive into a big hole right out of the gate, and playing Buholtz at Buholtz, even on a year where Buholtz is not dominant, that's a tough ask.
No,
and
for sure.
Buholtz, I mean, Miles Graham, my goodness, he was untouchable last Thursday night, 44-7. So Bartram will not win a district championship. You're going to have to go into the playoffs as probably a 5 seed, which is not ideal. But for Bartram, you played an extremely tough schedule, the hardest in our district by far. But at some point, you're going to have to start closing these games.
Yeah.
You got 4 losses right now. And all 4 of those are to teams that are still undefeated.
Yeah,
Mainland.
Well, on top of that, too, they might have to play them again, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the whole part of it, too. But, yeah, going back to the teams they played, Mainland,
St. Augustine.
Yeah, exactly, and Buholtz. So, like, that's where, you know, you're playing some tight games and some of those other, you know, the St. Aug game was a tighter game than, you know, getting blown out by, like, an IMG and a Buholtz. But yeah, if you know where you're at right now and you're saying, okay, we got a couple weeks left of the season, you know, then we're getting the postseason play, you know, you get that first game, you know, you get a win, but then you have to circle back and maybe play a Buholtz
right
again. You just saw what they did to you. So, like, where are you going to make that up at, you know, the second time around to where we can be like, are we going to be able to stop Miles Graham? Are we going to be able to block this guy? All that stuff. So, right now, it's like they're trying to find some things as this season closes out before they can go on that playoff run to see if they can make some things happen, really.
Yeah, when you look at Bartram, they played IMG closer than they did Buholtz,
right,
which is crazy to
me.
Buholtz last year in the playoffs beat Bartram 21-20. The regular season, Bartram won that game, I believe, by 15. So strange things happen in the playoffs, but just Bartram, to me, the schedule, you know, I look at it like Bartram's schedule this year, I look at it like Trinity Christian maybe 3 or 4 years ago when they played an absolutely probably the most difficult schedule I've ever seen. They played like Colquitt, right?
There's been a couple. The Buford year was pretty tough because we played Buford and IMG in that season.
Buford right off the bat.
Yeah, Buford game one. And then I know we played IMG that year too, both of those were ESPN games. But, yeah, the Colquitt, I think maybe American Heritage Plantations was in the same year. So, like, yeah, you schedule that type of, you know, games of out of state and out of area on top of, you know, playing, you know, Rains and Riverside and, you know, whoever the big dogs in city are, you know, definitely when you schedule that way, it definitely helps, you know, get you prepared for the postseason play. But also in a sense, too, is like, man, We might not be that good either.
Yeah, it bangs you up too. So I'm going to pull up this Trinity Christian schedule from a few years ago, and it blew my mind that these guys are playing this type of schedule, yeah. And it was just absolutely a brutal schedule. Now, the bad thing about that schedule, let me go through the Trinity schedules from 2019, okay. A year before pandemic. You're at Columbia week one, Godby week two, both those on the road.
Yep.
Venice week three.
Oh, yes.
Plantation American Heritage week four, Miami Carroll City week five, Pahokee, Booker T. Washington, Colquitt County, Riverside Reigns, and then you lose in the first round of the playoffs to Trinity Catholic.
Yeah.
So you play all these almost state and national teams, and, yeah, you're playoff tested.
I can't even remember.
5-6.
Okay, yeah.
So that was Fred, I think Fred Miles' senior year.
And that was like they really played poorly in that game against Trinity Catholic, where they should have and could have won that game. There was like a late – I want to say a punt return that got them back in there. That was when Burke was still there. And they should have won that game. And if they would have got past Trinity Catholic, I think they could have made a run to at least get back to the state championship. And that they were still state caliber. I don't remember who won the state championship that year, but they could have definitely, if they would have not lost that first round, they could have maybe made a run. And it was kind of disappointing that ended up happening.
So Bartram Trail, in a sense, has played a schedule that is pretty darn tight to you. Beat Ponte Vedra, you route Seabreeze, you're home against Mainland, you lose that game 28-24, you're 8-0 Mainland, state finalist last year Mainland. You lose to St. Augustine 34-31, St. Augustine's number one in our in our rankings, they're 7-0. You beat Fleming Island, Fleming's in a rebuilding year. IMG, you lose 49-20, IMG is a national power, they're 7-0, so right there, three of your teams that you've lost to combined 23-0, you beat Creekside, your big rival, and then you lose to Buchholz 44-7. Buchholz is 8-0.
Yeah.
So two 8-0 teams, two 7-0 teams. That's just a remarkably difficult schedule for anybody. And if you're Bartram Trail, your strength of schedule is just through the roof. I mean, one of the most difficult in the state. I mean, you're looking at Bartram is on par with, guys like Plantation American Heritage, their schedule. St. Thomas Aquinas, they have a stronger schedule than Aquinas. Chaminade Ramadana, they have a schedule comparable with that. So you're talking about Bartram playing schedule, playing these teams equivalent to the Chaminade. Chaminade is the best team in the state, regardless of classification.
Yep.
So, I look at the Bartram situation as like a Trinity situation from 2019. Yeah, you're playoff tested, you're battle tested, but There's a fine line of being battle tested and broken.
Exactly. Yeah, you just said it right there. Because, like, again, the team who you are probably going to have to face to knock off is the team that just slaughtered you Thursday night.
And you could play that team in the first or second round.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's good to be battle tested. But like you say, you got to find that line to where you can say, okay, we're tested. This is the type of caliber of team we're going to play. But then also you don't want to be, like you say, broken or just like – you're almost like you get checked to where it's like, man, we're not as good as these guys. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to go anywhere, this is the type of team we got to beat. I don't know. You start second guessing yourself like there's no way we're going to beat this team when we play them the second time
around.
So, yeah, it's definitely a difficult thing. But, you got to find that line where you're saying, okay, we'll play these bangers every week. But then you got to find some games in there that, almost like build you up too.
Right.
Where you can like – work on things, adjust things and change things that, that aren't working in some of these other games. So it's, like I say, that's definitely the you got to figure it out.
Yeah, process. The balance. I mean, because I look at this Bartram schedule almost like there's that Trinity schedule in 2019. By the time, again, you played the bangers, when you look at a schedule and say, hey, Reigns or Riverside's my lightest game on the schedule.
Right.
And you get to the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs, and you lose. I mean, you played that schedule to prepare you for a long run. That the easiest teams of your season would be the ones you saw in the playoffs.
Right.
And Trinity, I don't think Trinity was as good that year as it's been in other years. So it kind of a bad combination of, not having as talented of a team and being a little bit beat down from a rugged schedule. You get in the playoffs, you should be to Trinity Catholic.
Right.
And then you go out and you lose 23-21. So it kind of defeats the purpose, with the players that almost beaten down from that tough of a season.
That scheduling was just tough.
Yeah, so you got to wonder about what that with Bartram as well. But Bartram's obviously a much bigger program than Trinity. They've been one of the most consistent public school programs in our area since they opened. But you got to wonder if that schedule and they're still not done yet. You still got Oakleaf this week. Oakleaf's not the Oakleaf of old, and you got to finish with Mandarin.
Yeah, no, exactly. Oakleaf is we've talked about them and they're. Their struggles of a first year program changing over everything and the transition of Coach Foy and they've been good and they've been bad, they've been kind of up and down, but they're still a formidable opponent. Bartram's got to come to play. I think Bartram's better, so they should win. But then, like you say, finish with Mandarin, who is a highly skilled team, a highly touted team in the area, highly touted team in the state. So you might lose one of those two,
right?
And then are you limping into the playoffs? You're going to get in, but then it's like, man, where's the psyche of the team?
Right.
And you get that. What kind of first-round matchup do you get? You're going on the road, all that type of stuff. So, they're not trending in the right direction,
right.
I'd say.
And it's, maybe I think the flip side argument is that, well, we're not going to see a more difficult team in the first, second round of the playoffs than we've seen this season.
Right.
But, again, first, second round of the playoffs could be a Buchholz at this point. So, but again, great season for Bartram Trail. I mean, kudos to them for a public school team for taking on that schedule that they have, just unbelievably difficult schedule. I mentioned Bartram's losses. All four losses are 4-4, have been to teams that currently remain undefeated at week 10 of the season. So that's just remarkable. A couple other games from last week, Creekside 49-48. Not a great game in terms of sexy matchups, just to the teams kind of record-wise.
But the matchup.
How about
field.
That finish? I mean, unreal kind of game.
Yeah.
Sebastian Broughton, Fleming quarterback, 7 touchdowns responsible
balling.
For in
he
that game.
Balling,
and it comes down to a field goal at the end, 49-yarder, missed just to the side. But a great game for Fleming Island and Creekside. I mean, Creekside needed that win. You can't afford. I mean, you're on the outside of the playoff bubble looking in Region 1-4S. Got to finish strong, maybe a 3-0 finish to get in, 2-1 at worst. You could not drop that one there with Ponte Vedra still on the schedule.
Definitely.
So, big-time win for Sean McIntyre and the Knights, 49-48. They're around to live another week. They got Atlantic Coast this week.
Yeah.
Atlantic Coast played rain stuff
last
week.
They did. They played scrappy. I just, we've – Creekside's been that team where we've known they've been able to score offensively. Like, they're doing well over there on the offensive side of the ball. Defense has been kind of hit or miss. One week they're solid, then one week they're in shootout games like this. But Birch is over there running that offense, and his son went.
Yeah, he's crazy,
off.
Man. Kareem Birch is – Caleb Birch, man, he went.
Look, Lil Birch was going – was killing them boys.
He went crazy. Ten catches over two Bills receiving.
Yeah.
So, great game. And that's weird for Creekside to have a receiver with that many yards. But they were in a shootout. And, rebuilding year for Fleming. This is their six-game losing streak right now, the worst season since 2004. So
see, this is what they did offensively in that game. That's kind of what I felt. Give me a happy medium in there. Maybe go slap off for 7 touchdowns every week. Sebastian and the offense. But I felt like Fleming with him at quarterback and with some of those weapons, they would be better offensively.
Right. Me too. I was wrong.
They kind of haven't meshed. They had a decent start, and then. It's not that the offense went stale or whatever, but for whatever reason, they weren't, clicking and they weren't scoring points. And so, I don't know, maybe they found something in that game, which is good going forward, but I was expecting a little more of some of that, what they put on display Friday against Creekside, kind of like the whole season.
Yeah.
And, they went against some tough opponents earlier in the year where they did come up short and not win, but – hopefully they found a little something in Fleming. Because, like I say, this is a rebuilding year. It's a new coach, new transition, all that stuff. So we'll see what they can do. But, like I say, that was definitely a shootout of a game, man.
Man, mercy. That was a great one. So what happened to be our game of the week. So we had Creekside's Noah Schlickshop on the call last week. He did a great game. If you've not listened to that final sequence that he called play-by-play, head over to news4jax.com or find it on our YouTube channel. Great sequence there of that finish and a field goal opportunity at the end to win it. Just a remarkable, remarkable game for the Knights in Week 9. Last one from last week, Middleburg 31, BK 28. BK trending in the wrong direction too.
Yeah, they are. They are. We talked about going into this one last week that, we both kind of thought Bishop Kenny would win this one just because of their offense. But we knew Middleburg was a scrappy team.
Yep.
And they had been playing tough, hadn't won, some games. Like they had that Columbia game the week before where they played really, really tough game. I was paying attention to the score. My brother came into town. His sister, my sister-in-law, her nephew plays for Middleburg. So she was like, what's the score of the game? What's the score of the game? So I kept checking it for her. And then, you know, it was tied, you know, 14-14 at halftime, back and forth. I'm like 28 all. And then, boom, 47-yarder at the buzzer.
That was amazing.
Walk off for
Middleburg. You know, they have turned it around. They had a tough start, tough schedule, I think 0-3. But since they won four of the last five, and they're right in that playoff picture now. Yeah. I mean, Bishop Kenny was number two in the region entering the week. They're going to drop. They've got three games. You know, the Middleburg game, I did not think they would lose, but they got bowls this week, and they got UC to finish. So you're talking a Bishop Kenny team that was second in the region, possibly being in that latter half of the region now. I think they still make the playoffs pretty easily, but if you're Tim Krause, you got to wonder what's going on there.
It's not going right for them, obviously, either. Like, you know, Middleburg ran it up and down they ran it down their throat, man.
Right.
You know, and like I said, they play a physical brand of ball and all that, but definitely, you know, having a bowls this week and then, you know, closing out with UC, I think, you know, like I say, UC is kind of fighting for their life. They need any win they can get, so they're going to be trying to win that game too. So it's going to be, if they want to have their self going in the right direction in the playoffs, then they need to, you know, figure something out here in these next two, which it's going to be a tough tall order.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of set the table for this week, because this week is, I think, the most intense week of the season. District championships will be decided aplenty on Thursday and Friday night this week before we get into week 10. Super 10 did not change a lot for me this week at all. Creekside, I still got them at 10. Trinity, 9. Bowls, 8. That's the same three I had last week. Riverside, 7. So I didn't have a chance to move Riverside up with how things broke in the front of me. Riverside, 7. Bartram Trail, I've got dropping from 3 to 6. Rains moving up to 5. Mandarin, 4. Ponte Vedra, 3. Bradford, 2. St. Augustine, 1. And, I know Ponte Vedra lost to Bartram in the regular season, but the Sharks have been dealing it, and possibly, I don't think they can overtake Buchholz, but they're going to be probably a solid number two seed. But they've got a tough Nice team this week. Sponge, let me hear your 10.
They're exactly the same as yours, except I've got Bartram at 5. So I've got St. Aug, Bradford, Mandarin, Ponte Vedra, Bartram, Rains, Riverside, and then the same as you, Bowles, Trinity, and Creekside at running out the 10. So, like literally, we've got Bartram moved in one spot.
Yeah,
that's it. And the only reason I said that is if Bartram and Rains played, I would probably pick Bartram Friday night. But, you know, again, we'll see where these teams are trending and all that, because, you know, Rains has looked solid, but then, you know, you banged with a weaker Atlantic Coast, in my opinion, you know. So it's just – it's all about, you know, who I think would maybe win if they played each other.
Yeah.
And like I said, if Ponte Vedra actually played Bartram again, I'd probably pick Ponte Vedra.
I would too. I would do the same.
So I don't have any problem, you know, just because they beat them on the field that – you know, Bartram should be ahead of Ponte Vedra. No, it's how you're playing now, too.
Right.
And who would I pick to win that game if they were playing Friday? Too,
right. I totally agree. So if you're, you know, I think Bartram would beat Rains. We're going to see Bartram Mandarin next week. You know, Bradford, I think, is right there in terms of could probably beat a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
I know Bradford being a smaller program, but, man, they are so good under Jamie Rogers, and that defense is something else. All right, looking ahead to Week 10, we have got a blockbuster Week 10. Of course, Florida, Georgia in town this week, so we've got a lot of Thursday games. A couple of those Thursday games will decide district titles. BK at Bowles, big-time rivalry there. BK won that game last year, first win over Bowles in over 40 years. Fletcher at First Coast, that's another district championship game. Look at these two games. I think Bowles overlooked Kenny last year, and I do think that they were, you know, planning ahead and a little bit, and BK took that opportunity. They got a great quarterback. They made some big plays. They win a 1-point game. I don't think that's going to happen this year, especially with how BK's been playing lately.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We literally just touched upon Bishop Kenny kind of struggling and not going in the right direction, to whereas, you know, Bowles has kind of been up and down too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they definitely had a tough slate early in the year too with their schedule, where they should have and could have won a couple of those games against some big-time teams like a St. Aug and a Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they took their lumps and they figured some stuff out. They, you know, they beat Trinity in that, you know, 5-turnover game. You know, then all of a sudden they lose to Columbia, who hadn't won a game. So they're definitely battle-tested. I think they've definitely played a tougher schedule. You know, I just think that they're better, and I don't think they're going to take this one for granted.
Right.
And they want some get-back.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
So I think all that plays into – you know, a recipe for a Bowles win for sure.
Yeah, I think Bowles wins that game comfortably, especially with Kenny and how it's just been up and down. You lose by 35 to Ponte Vedra. You squeeze a win in between there, and then you lose to Middleburg. You know, no knock on Middleburg, but Bishop Kenny really should have won that game. James Reaser and a good defense, but Middleburg, credits Middleburg. They playing like their playoff lives are on the line, and yeah. They snuck out with a win last week. Fletcher at First Coast. You know, this one I get questions why, you know, Fletcher's won six in a row. Why are they not in my Super 10?
Yeah.
Well, again, you cannot look at winning streaks and records and stuff.
Right.
They're not all created equal.
No.
You know, Bartram at 4-4
right.
is rated extremely higher than a Fletcher or even a Providence who's won seven in a row.
Yeah.
Schedules and wins and losses are not created equal.
No.
And you look at
it's hard to do that, like you said, to rank teams off of just you can't base it off records.
At all. At all.
So that's why, you know, like you just said, they're not created equal. And so if you want to do it this way, give Fletcher Bartram schedule and what's
yeah.
the record. If you
right.
want to do it that way. They're not 6-2.
Right.
So like you say, Fletcher's right there on we both talked about it. Fletcher's right there on the doorstep of like a 11, mm-hmm. 10B, if you want, you know, put it that way. But that's just you can't. You can't put a number on that and say, all right, they should be ranked because they're 6-2.
Yeah,
they won six in a row.
No, there's no denying what they've done since starting 0-2 has been impressive. Same with Providence. Providence is 7-1,
right.
going into its last two games, and they've won seven in a row after a week one loss to Fernandina Beach. So again, great seasons. But if you were to put Fletcher on the field against, let's say, any of our top 10 teams.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't, you know, Trinity beat Fletcher in the kickoff class or the spring game.
Right.
Creekside routed Fletcher in the preseason
yep,
game. So that's,
yep.
again, I don't weigh preseason or anything
right.
like that into it, but that gives you just a glimpse of that. And you look at a Max Preps ranking and see Fletcher or Providence ranked below teams with 5-6 losses
right.
who have played more difficult schedules.
Exactly.
So you just cannot, and it's the same thing in AP Top 25 college football poll.
Yeah.
You can't look at just a team that's 7-0 or
8-0. Air Force should be number 3, right?
Yeah, right, really. Really. So, I mean, you can't look at teams like that and say, hey, why are we not ranked? So, again, you've got to look at a little more metrics than just the overall or the
yeah.
winning streak or whatever they're on. It's not – they are not the same. So, First Coast, Fletcher. I'm going to take Fletcher in this game. I think they're just the better team at this point. I think C4 and those guys are going to finish 8-2 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And the problem with Fletcher, though, is you're going to get a mid to lower seed in the playoffs. I think Fletcher was number 6 in the region rankings entering last week. So, your schedule isn't tough. And that's the problem. That's the problem with you create your own schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you have to play gateway teams since you're in the conference. So you're going to have to play some of those teams that you probably wouldn't otherwise, you know, the Parkers and those guys. And that drags your strength of schedule
yeah.
down, you
yeah.
know? So if you're Fletcher and C4, you gain more from playing a, you know, rivalry game in a sense, a Sandalwood or a Parker or something like that, than you do playing a team that's a little more difficult. I think it's better to play a more difficult team.
It is. I mean, that's what it boils down to. How those rankings work too
mm-hmm.
with your strength of schedule and stuff is like, so that's why sometimes you have to schedule. That's what makes it difficult though, I know, for these gateway teams, because they're like locked in
right.
having to play these games, you know, with everybody in the city. And so like you can't maybe schedule like an out of town style game that might bump your, you know, your ratings
mm-hmm.
up. And it's like I said, that's the whole tough thing of scheduling.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you know, that and the whole thing, this is like the counter argument to the whole Bartram thing is like, you know, where you might have played a lighter schedule, so now are you ready for the playoff team?
Right.
You know, are you ready for that tough round one matchup, you know, that you got to go on the road to go play a team?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's that's all about it, too. So, it's like, I like Fletcher in this matchup, too. I do like First Coast and what their offense has
yeah,
been
Tisdale's
doing.
Yeah, Tisdale's winging
so, I mean,
it.
I, if First Coast can throw it around and, you know, maybe score some, it could be a little bit of a shootout. I still think, you know, defensive, you know, style, just because that's what, you know, Fletcher wants to get you in, but I definitely think Fletcher finishes 8-2. But like
mm-hmm.
you said, where do they fit in on that playoff line? You know,
so, yeah, I think they're right in the middle of that cusp. And they did, you know, last year they went 1-done. They got crushed in the first round of the playoffs. Same with First Coast, 1-done. So that 3M is our weakest region wise in terms of playoff teams by far. Don't have a lot of teams in there, and the teams we have in there are middle of the road teams. So
what is that? They play like the Orlando teams. In
yeah.
there? Yeah.
So it's going to be a difficult draw for either of those two teams should they make the playoffs. And That's our Thursday night. We have two of those on Thursday night. A lot of games on Thursday night. Reigns can wrap up a district title against Jackson. That's another one. Parker trying to fend off a winless season. They're going over to Inglewood. Sandalwood trying to fend off a winless season. They're still in that conversation. They play Mandarin for the district title on Thursday night. So some good ones on Thursday. Creekside, Atlantic Coast. Atlantic Coast needs to win to get in the playoffs. So some good ones there. Friday is our second night of football this week. Nice at Ponte Vedra. I love that matchup. That's our game of the week. Palatka at Bradford, another good one there, district title online, and then Trinity Providence. Let's swing through these real quick, Sponge. Nice Ponte Vedra, I think that's going to be a competitive game. Bradford, Palatka, I don't think is going to be competitive. And Trinity Providence, I'm a little on the fence on just because Trinity's offense this year has been so up and down.
Yeah, we've talked about Trinity's offensive struggles, offensive woes. I feel like they still got more dudes,
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, you check the box on, like, you know, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, whatever. I feel like just the overall personnel, a player is better. Now, don't get me wrong. You can scheme stuff up, and Providence has done a great job of that.
Mm-hmm.
They got a heck of a staff over there too. So I still think, you know, also I think Trinity's defense is still really good. You know, in that schedule that they've played so far, you know, there's, you know, a lot of the top teams in our area and playing out of the area. You know, defensively, they've been pretty good. So, I still think they got enough to, you know, on offense to win the game and win the district. You know, but like I say, they've got to continue to – hopefully they fine-tune some things in the bye week and, you know, got some guys healthy. But, you know, when you can lean on Darnell, even with the banged-up shoulder,
mm-hmm.
like, I think Providence is going to have a hard time stopping him.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Providence, to me, I looked at Providence before the season and I said, I like what they have. You got former Jaguars on coaching staff there. Maurice Williams done a good job putting his system in place. You've got a lot of players. A lot of these guys are young players. So I looked at Providence before the season and said, this team is going to be good, but I thought Providence was going to be good
next year.
a year from now. Yeah. And they really surprised me by doing it. It would not surprise me to see them in the season on a two-game losing streak because they've got a tough game against Trinity on Friday and a tough one against Beachside as well.
Yeah.
So Beachside is cooking. So it would surprise me if Providence finished 9-1. I've seen stranger things happen.
Right.
I do think Trinity has too many dudes left at this point to lose that game. I mean, Trinity knows the district championship. They're not going to be looking past Providence because
right.
they saw what they did to UC. Now, I think this is a different UC team than last year, obviously. You don't have as many guys. I mean, UC's been just not good on offense this year. They can't throw the ball. You know, Boogie running the ball, he's been solid, but that's really all you got. Missing Genoa Alford at wideout, that's a big loss for them. So I don't think Trinity's been in these situations before. That coaching staff has seen games where they said, hey, we're not going to lose this game.
Right.
10-0 in the first round of the playoffs and you lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
lose to Trinity Catholic when you had that crazy season in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Trinity is going to look past Providence just seeing what they did to UC. And I think UC looked past Providence a little bit homecoming week and taking nothing away from Providence. But they played extremely well. They had a 91-yard drive at the end to win that game. So nothing away from Providence. But I do think that UC Providence game was almost like Bowles BK last year where you were looking past them a little bit.
I think
UC was saying Trinity, it's us and Trinity, and Trinity, and that just didn't happen. So I love that game. I like Providence to be an even better team next year, but I do think Trinity probably a little too many horses to lose that game on Friday night. Palatka Bradford, you see this going any different than last year?
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Can Bradford get another shutout is the question. That's a good question. How many points do they give up, you know, if any?
So, 42 over Lecanto last week. Palatka again, 71. This is about where Palatka was last year, and then they struggled at the finish. I think they lost their last four games. They made it in the playoffs, but ended the season on a losing streak. But Patrick Turner's done remarkable things down there in Putnam County. I've never understood. Palatka's the only show in town in Putnam County, and, you know, Putnam County proper. And you haven't got it going until recently.
Yeah.
Just disappointing.
Yeah. You want that small town feel. You want that, you know, we're the only show in town type game type, you know, all that. And it's just, you go 7-1, you know, but who have you really beaten?
Mm-hmm.
What are the big dogs on the schedule? What are you doing against the bigger time teams? And that's where they're coming up empty.
Right.
And, like, you got to find a way to get a big win against a team who's, you know, probably better than you. You
right.
got to find that upset, you know. So just Bradford is, like I say, a tough task, and, you know, they're just not on that level. Just not on that level.
I don't think a lot of teams here are on Bradford's definitely, level. They are, man, senior heavy. They have that defense. They're focused. And I know Alessandro went down there last Friday night. Just a Bradford football on a Friday night is kind of like a Suwannee football, kind of like Columbia football on a Friday night. Baker County, just a good atmosphere to be in down there. Beautiful facility down there at Bradford, too.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great one in Stark on Friday night. And last one, we got Nice at Ponte Vedra. That happens to be our game of the week. That's for a district championship. Nice, the offense, man. Maddox Spencer has been killing it,
Maddox Spencer,
that ball.
Maddox Spencer is a baller out there.
He is.
A thousand yards on the year, 14 touchdowns. Heck yeah. I saw his little jump ball against Flagler Palm Coast in the corner of the end zone. I'm like, he mossed two guys, went up and got it. I mean, like I say, offensively, Nice has got some things going. You know, they're able to score some points, but I feel like Ponte Vedra, we talked about them, they're kind of physical.
Yeah, they're good at all levels.
They're physical in the run game. And they can throw it also. And then on the flip side, their defense gets after you too. So I think if Nice can find something offensively passing the ball like they have been, maybe they can make it a run. But I still think Ponte Vedra is too much.
Yeah, Ponte Vedra is just –
they got all phases right now working.
They run the ball well. I mean, offensive line, Jake Ornair is a big guy down there on that line. He's going to Michigan. But, man, they're running it well. Brian Case has been killing it. Ben Burke has been throwing it. Their defense has been playing well. And you put 55 up on Bishop Kenny and run and clock them.
Yeah.
They have controlled this rivalry since the schools first started playing, I think, in 2008. Ponte Vedra, I just think too much at this point. They're going to probably finish 9-1. They got Creekside in week 11, so that's going to be a huge game. Could be for the number one seed in the district or region for Ponte Vedra, and it could be for a playoff spot for Creekside. So it's an exceptional two nights of games this week, Thursday and Friday. District champions will be decided this week, and the playoff races tighten up. So, Sponge, man, it's going to be exciting 2 weeks,
yeah,
two nights of football.
This is we're getting down to the end here. So, yeah, Thursday, always Florida, Georgia gives you that, you know, flavor to be able to go out on a Thursday and a Friday to go catch some games. So, you know, they got to keep that JSO down there at the, you know,
that's right,
the downtown area. So you get good Thursday night ball and some good Friday night ball.
That's right. So, Sponge and I will talk to you next week. We'll have a little bit more firm playoff rankings of who's in, who's out. And, Captain, man, I can't believe it's already here, but week 10 this week, week 11, the last regular season week of the year, is coming up on us quickly. For Sponge Franklin, Justin Barney, thanks for joining us on another edition of the Varsity Podcast.